Welcome back to the A-List, guys. Doing coming back at you with a lowdown on April 16th, 2025. Mark Carney, technocrat, and CEOs endorsed Pierre. It's going to be a good one. I got a whole breakdown of the Carney-Elon Musk connection. That's pretty crazy, considering how much the Carney supporters seem to hate Elon right now. I mean, none of them are going to watch this, and if they do, they'll probably just call me fake news. But that should be good. Should be good. We did also want to mention, if you are watching this on Grimerica Outlawed, it's not going to come out on that feed anymore. You will have to go over to the alist.ca and sign up over there. You'll still get the Sunday bonus show for the Plus members and the interviews every week. And if you want to get this, just subscribe to the A-List. We're sort of just separating off the Canadian content. And we've got a big mess here. We're cleaning up. So this will be the last one there. And then just go to the A-List. If you're having trouble, shoot us an email. We'll get you over there. Before we get to the Carney stuff, though, I did want to just start off with, I got a quick one here that's interesting. My buddy over on X Table Salts. I don't know if we're buddies or not, but we were not buddies for a while, but it seems like we might be buddies now. So here we have government documents obtained reveal that the Canada Child Benefit Program benefits new immigrants to Canada three times more than people born in Canada. This is interesting because we were going over it last week, and the numbers were like, what was it, like $1,800 or something like that for the $1,800 for the kids. And I'm like, man, even if I'm unemployed, I don't think I can get that much for the child tax benefits. So if you pop up on here, this is just a little chart he's got that shows the child tax benefit. I mean, there's a bunch of things here. There's a student loan interest credit, tax credit for CPP and QPP contributions by employed and self-employed people, tax credit for EI and QPIP premiums paid by blah, 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 tuition tax credit, GST. So here's your more refundable stuff. Child Canada benefit. I think the difference between non-refundable and refundable, and I might be wrong about this, but I think the non-refundable ones are the ones you can only like claim against your taxes. So, but these other ones down below are the ones where they will actually send you money, I think. So you got the Canada Child Benefit, the GST credit, refundable medical expense supplement, teacher and early childhood educator, school supply tax credit, Canada workers benefit, Canada training credits, and other refundable credits. Now, he's only got the Canada child tax credit, but I was going over it here, and the numbers are kind of all over the place on a bunch of it. So here you've got at the top the ratios, people born in Canada, non-recent immigrants, and recent immigrants, and redistributive impact towards each group. And if you go down the side, you've got a positive for recent immigrants on the child tax, GST, refundable, workers' benefit, and Canada training credit. Those are all positives for recent immigrants, and negatives for people born in Canada. Now, if you take a look up at the top of the arbitrary, the people, the ratios, so the GST benefit is a 0.84. So basically, they're taking what you're getting in and timesing it by 0.84 if you're Canada, 1.03 if you're a non-recent immigrant, and 2.56 if you are a recent immigrant. And on the GST credit, it's 0.91 for born in Canada to a 1.69 on the recent immigrants. What do you think about that? Now, this he pulls up his source here, which is directly from this the Canada.ca report on federal tax expenditures, 424-page document. I'm not going to go through it here. We can link to it in the show notes for people that want to go through it. But I mean, we just did the refugee report last week at how much money they were getting, and this kind of just lends more credence to that, I would say.
It's pretty gross. I had I tried to get my girlfriend on disability because she's got that EDS, right? That genetic disorder. And you can't even get, you can't even get her on disability, right? I can't get any help or support because the system doesn't give her any support or help at all. So, I mean, this is the other frustrating thing is people think that, you know, all our healthcare is free and all that. Well, any kind of relief that I get out of the system is out of our own pocket. You know, we can't even get help. It's so frustrating. And all the, and just because I was making more than like basically poverty wages, we get no support. They just want to bring everybody down to that level. Right. So even though I'm spending money to support her disability, it doesn't matter because I make like just over poverty, you know, I'm not saying right now just over poverty, but you know, if you make over this certain amount, which isn't much a month, you just don't get any support. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Remember, like, subscribe, and share if you are watching on YouTube. Now let's go over to our buddy Sam Cooper as we start to transition into some Mark Carney stuff.
Let me just say one thing before. I'm a little bit upset. I forgot to last week's or no, a couple of days ago we did that segment on the crime stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
The crime rates and all that. And part of my segment was gonna be this document that was found in prison by a correctional officer. Did you see that one? And yeah. It was aimed at turning inmates against conservatives. So it was like this paper that was all folded up and it looks official. Government Pierre Polyev policy, conservative Pierre Polyev policy. And it's so weird. It talks about the strike. So this was found inside a corrections thing.
Can they vote or are they just supposed to tell their significant others to not vote for
right.
them?
Right. That's not a good point. You know?
I don't think about this, if you're in jail.
They're talking about this three strike law, life sentence on serious offenses, less resources and fundings for all federal prisons and the services available through this online portal, how to access them and why you may want to register. I mean, it's just crazy that they're even trying to propagandize that. Can you vote? This is after a decade of liberal soft on crime laws, coddling criminals, unleashing chaos and community in our. This is straight from Government of Canada. This is absolutely disgraceful behavior. We are in prisons convincing convicts to vote liberal because we are soft on crime.
So you can vote in jail?
I don't know.
It seems crazy if you can.
Oh, here's one. Hang on. Convicts can vote. Don't get me started. Somebody says, start the car with the garage door closed if you have a problem with this. Yes, since the 2000s, apparently in Canada, yes.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. Well, I guess that's fine. Then that's just campaigning to criminals. That's your base. CSIS warned Beijing would brand conservatives as Trumpian. Now Carney's campaign is doing it. So here we have the intelligent report from CSIS, China, some of it's redacted here. But it says that in mid-November 2021, a PRC consulate official in Canada made comments about the influence of Chinese Canadian voters in the recent 2021 Canadian federal election. Election day was September 20th, 2021. The loss by two incumbent members of parliament from the Conservative Party of Canada substantiated that immigrants from the mainland People's Republic of China are beginning to show their strength during elections. PRC officials anticipate that in the next federal election, Chinese Canadian voters redacted to the consulate official. There are two reasons for this trend will continue. The first is that more immigrants will become Canadian citizens and obtain voting rights. And the second is that it is easy to influence Chinese immigrants to agree with the PRC's stance. According to the consulate official, the ethnic Chinese voters should be influenced, educated about certain key points. A, the CPC is critical of the PRC and opposed to individuals from mainland PRC. B, ethnic Chinese voters should be told that if the CPC wins a federal election, the CPC will follow the path of former United States President Donald Trump and will ban Chinese students from student universities or educational programs. This will threaten the future of their voters' children as it will limit their educational opportunities. So here's Sam's part. Canadian intelligence reported in 2021 that Beijing planned to interfere in Canadians' next federal election with disinformation suggesting the Conservatives will follow the path of Donald Trump, a narrative now echoed in a clandestine dirty tricks operation exposed inside Prime Minister Mark Carney's campaign. The warning comes from a classified CSIS bulletin dated December 20th, 2021, and marked secret, distributed to Canadian departments, including Global Affairs Canada, the Privy Council Office, the Communications Security Establishment, and Five Eyes Intelligence Partners, including the USA. The report was based on information from Chinese consular officials in Canada. According to the CSIS assessment, the consulate official in mid-November 2021 discussed how Chinese influence in federal Rhinings with large Chinese-Canadian populations had proven effective and laid out a forward-looking strategy to shape future electoral outcomes. The official report stated, ethnic Chinese voters should be told that if the CPC wins the federal election, blah, 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 we already read that. It does say at the the consulate official also suggested that during Canada's next federal election, the message should be circulated that the Conservative Party of Canada is critical of the PRC and opposed to individuals from mainland China. The remarks were made shortly after Justin Trudeau's Liberals won a minority government in the fall of 2021. CSIS concluded that the PRC officials believed Chinese immigrants were relatively easy to influence towards Beijing's geopolitical goals and could be mobilized to oppose Canada's Conservative Party. The bulletin describes a broader context in which Chinese state actors sought to paint Canadian conservatives as hostile to immigrants aligned with Trump-style nationalism. This is talking about the buttons. Now the Liberal Party has attempted to downplay the scandal, calling it an instance of overzealous political operatives getting carried away. But the parallels to Beijing's 2021 disinformation strategy, as outlined in the CSIS bulletin, raise broader concerns over domestic political campaigns echoing or amplifying hostile state narratives. The disinformation scandal was first exposed by CBC News on Sunday, April 13th. According to the report, two Liberal staffers attended the Canada Strong and Free Networking Conference last week. Observers have noted ticket prices for the event cost hundreds of dollars, suggesting the Liberal infiltration was well-planned and resourced. They scattered buttons reading Stop the Steal, along with buttons favoring Alberta secession movements and other political messages. That would suggest Pierre Poilievre's campaign is attracting MAGA-like extremists in Canada. MAGA-like extremists. 71 million MAGA-like extremists in the USA. That may be open to Trump's earlier jibes of turning Canada into a 51st state. The aim was to create the appearance of a Trumpian division and election denialism within Poilievre's camp. Asked about the scandal at a press conference today, Prime Minister Mark Carney said the responsible people have been reassigned within the campaign, but the half apology has failed to quell public concern. Bada boom.
I'm still a little underwhelmed about the whole PRC. thing and the social media and the, like, it just seems like we've been doing it to other countries all the time. There's always a geopolitical narrative going on. I just don't see what the difference is, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't think it's about we so much.
We chat or we as in us?
The states do. We don't as much.
What do you mean? I mean, our media is constantly railing against Trump, calling him names, lies about him. Like, how is that any different than this? I don't understand it. We pay the media, the government pays the media, our taxpayers pay the media, and then they go and rail against, they interfere with the U.S. elections.
Yeah, but no one in the States is watching that.
That doesn't matter. We're not watching the Chinese stuff. I mean.
Well, I think that's what they're saying, is that they're broadcasting the Chinese stuff to Chinese, to two Canadian Chinese citizens in Canada.
In the little areas where there's like a lot of voters.
Nobody in America is watching CBC or like any of our stuff. You know what I mean?
I don't know if that's a good argument, though. I mean, just because who's watching doesn't really, like, it shouldn't make it okay because nobody wants, like.
Well,
What about Canadians in the States that are voting in America? Is that possible that Canadians are double passports that are not that that's a.
I don't know. I think it's a different thing. I think it's, I don't think anyone that, I mean, when we talk to our American buddies, half of them don't even know what we're talking about. I mean, they don't even, elbows up.
No, I get that, but.
Whereas, you know, China's actively affecting, you know, some of those ridings in Toronto are all Chinese people, you know? So I don't know. I think it's, it's all kind of weird. We should just stay out of it. But I mean, the problem is that Trump just gave him some ammo, you know, as soon as he started like blabbing about the 51st state and everything else, it just, it gave him a little bit of ammo to.
Oh, give him a lot. I mean, that's the whole campaign's riding on that.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's get into this Carney segment here. Then.
Okay, but that's a good point because that's what they said in 2021. That goes back, what you just read goes back to 2021. So that was a strategy all along, and he just lit the match.
Yeah. Exactly. He's, and he's buddies with China, it seems like. So now some of this is going to be reviewed. We did go over a bit of this stuff last week or the week before, but I was just doing it off of the ChatGPT, and a couple people wanted some articles. So I dug up some stuff we can go through, and it ties into a bunch of stuff. This is going to end with this crazy connection between Carney's Brookfield and Elon are like in bed all over town on almost everything Elon's up to, it would seem like. So let's start with this. This is just an article from 2020, February 13th, 2020, from the Financial Times. Inside Brookfield's empire, complicated jigsaw of $500 billion in assets across the world. So let's go down. I found this fancy new highlight feature. That should make this a little easier. So this is going back to, whoops, I don't want to play that. So this is talking about Kushner's building in 666, Manhattan Avenue or whatever. It's in Manhattan. And he's, this is going to pick up the story in 2016. By 2016, Kushner was searching for a way out, destined for a top job in his father-in-law's White House the following year. He found plenty of people to talk to, but no one who was buying. Discussions with Anbang, the Chinese insurance group, came to a halt sometime before its flashy chairman, Wu Xiao, landed in a Chinese jail. The Qatari finance minister, Ali Sharif El-Mahdi, met Kushner's father in 2017, although Charles Kushner has said he took the appointment out of respect and stressed there could be no deal. Then, with months to go before the $1.2 billion of mortgage payments fell due in February 2019, the Kushners won a reprieve. One that looked nothing like a favor from a foreign state. It was an investment from financial group Brookfield, which leased the whole building, paying for nearly a century of rent in advance.
Which is apparently unheard of.
Well, no, who pays 100 years of rent in advance? That's fucking nuts. That's nuts. Brookfield is the name that towers over the global investment industry, even if it receives less scrutiny or attention than rivals of similar size. Yet exactly what Brookfield is or how it operates is maddeningly difficult to ascertain. To unpack the Canadian group's accounts is to discover not so much a company as a giant triangular jigsaw board that spreads across the world and covers assets worth $500 billion. The pieces are hundreds of corporate entities, all locked together by elaborate contracts, which give 40 people at the top the right to rule huge sections of the puzzle almost as if it were their own. So this is kind of just talking to the people that say, well, he was just working at Brookfield. You know, can't know what's going on here. It says here there's basically 40 people running the place, and he was running them for a couple of years. Those insiders wield such power that the companies below them could face risks similar to those of a pyramid control company. Over the past 6 months, the Financial Times has asked current and former executives and others who know Brookfield well to shine a light on this empire. Some refused to talk. Others requested anonymity, citing non-disclosure agreements and fear of reprisals. Let's go down a little further here. This is a super long article. If people want to check it out, the link will be in the show notes. So, partners today wield enormous power over Brookfield. Its 40 members own about one-fifth of Brookfield Asset Management, but have enough votes to appoint 9 of its 16 directors. A dual-class structure means they can also overrule shareholder motions, even if they are supported by outside shareholders. 2 days before Brookfield bought the Kushner's office tower last August, an executive named Brian Kingston dialed into a conference call with analysts and casually disclosed that his team had just closed a $1.4 billion transaction involving a different set of New York properties. Brookfield was the seller, who was also the buyer. More precisely, the buyer was Brookfield Asset Management, which sits a few rows from the top of the Brookfield Triangle and is sometimes known as Brookfield for short. This was already unusual. When the Brookfield Group buys an asset, the money usually comes from one of the investment funds it runs for outside investors. BAM doesn't do anything, Flack concerns. BAM being Brookfield Asset Management, never puts up any money for anything. That's why, if you've read any of our materials, we're increasingly at the point where we generate way more cash than we need. But this time, BAM was in fact putting up money to buy a 28% stake in a bunch of New York office towers. And it was doing more besides. The buildings were owned by Brookfield Property Partners, a separate NASDAQ-listed company that sits further down the triangle and trades under the ticker BPY, and confusingly, is also sometimes known as Brookfield for short, because BPY does not employ any property specialists. It delegates tasks such as identifying assets to buy and sell to other parts of the Brookfield empire. The Kushner deal was assembled from several pieces of the Brookfield empire. The lease was signed by a company named BSREP3 Nero LLC, a possible allusion to the empire who was blamed for the burning of Rome. That company is owned by a fund called BSREP3, which is managed by Brookfield Asset Management and was at the time controlled by BPY, all of which placed the deal where global finance blends into geopolitics on the jigsaw. The known links between Qatar and Brookfield all converge on the investment group's listed property fund, BPY. About one-tenth of the fund's assets are tied up in skyscrapers in Canary Wharf and Manhattan that are co-owned by Qatar. But the connection goes further. Through a sovereign wealth fund, Doha is one of BPY's biggest investors, holding $1.8 billion worth of BPY preferred equity. The securities have a debt-like quality, and Qatar can force Brookfield Asset Management to buy them back for $1.8 billion over the next 6 years.
Wow.
In theory, Qatar has significant influence over BPY and is entitled to choose one person to sit on BPY's board and receive confidential information that other investors never see. Brookfield says the kingdom has never exercised either of those rights. The Qatar Investment Authority declined to comment. Both sides have previously indicated that when Brookfield was negotiating the $1.3 billion lease on 666 Fifth Avenue, a building that Charles Kushner had discussed with the Qataris in 2017, the kingdom was not involved. And this all gets interesting on the U.S. side of things, because there's like a blockade of Qatar for a while and all that sort of stuff that we're not going to get into here, because that's more U.S. side of the map. But that's kind of an interesting breakdown of that Qatari deal. It makes it seem even a little more greasy. Now let's jump into let's jump over to this one quick. I'm interested if you've heard of this. Did you know that Brookfield helped buy Twitter?
Yeah. Well, I just found out today.
This is from February 13th, 2025. Brookfield shutters the venture unit that helped Elon Musk buy Twitter. So this is actually even just in passing, because the article is not really about that, but this is all I could find on it. So Brookfield Asset Management is quietly shut. So this would have been when Carney was, no, he had already quit by then, right? Brookfield Asset Management has quietly shuttered its venture capital-focused arm, Brookfield Growth, according to people with knowledge of the matter. Brookfield Growth managing partner, Josh Raffelli, left the firm as a part of the pivot, said the people who asked not to be identified discussing private information. Brookfield is in the process of moving some Brookfield Growth assets and staff to a division known as Pine Grove Capital, said the people. Pine Grove describes itself as a capital solutions provider for the venture capital ecosystem and acquired SVP Capital last year. A Brookfield spokesperson said the firm's intention is that Pine Grove will house all its venture investments, but declined to comment further. Brookfield Growth provided $250 million in 2022, so that would have been when Carney was in charge.
He
got in there as the chair in 2022 to 2025.
So, I mean, that would be interesting to know if it was before or after, probably after. But
if he wasn't the thing, he was still pretty high up already by then, right? What was he for the first 2 years?
Vice chair and chair, I think. I mean, I saw those clips of him today that's like, I wasn't vice chair, I was chair. Like, he had to make sure that.
So he was the vice chair, then the chair. Either way, he was up there. So Brookfield provided $250 million in 2022 to help Elon Musk buy out of Twitter, Inc., the social media platform now known as X. The check, now he's talking about banning it. The check was the largest ever written by Brookfield Growth at the time and somewhat different from its other bets. So I'm not going to get into all the rest of that. The only reason I brought that up is because I thought the Twitter thing was kind of interesting. And then if we jump over to this one, which is the Boring Company, April 20th, 2022, or Carney years again, the Boring Company presents C-Round Funny announcement. Defeating traffic is the ultimate boss battle. Even the most powerful humans in the world cannot defeat. Well, if they have a helicopter, they can. So this is from Elon Musk directly. The Boring Company is pleased to announce our C funding round of $675 million led by VY Capital and Sequoia Capital with participation from blah, blah, blah. Where are we here? We're also happy to share that a group of leading real estate partners of strategic importance are also joining the round, including Brookfield, Lennar, Tishman Speyer, and DACRA. The Boring Company was founded by Elon Musk to revolutionize transportation. Now, I don't know how much of these three-quarters or $675 million Brookfield contributed to that, but it's just another interesting little in-bed with Brookfield and Elon Musk, who Carney seems to pretend to hate now. this one, Tesla Energy, Brookfield and DACRA again. Who's DACRA? Because their name is all over the place, too. Tesla Energy, Brookfield, and DACRA create the first Tesla solar neighborhood in Austin. So this is from July 11th, 2021. Not only is Tesla building a $1.1 billion gigafactory in Austin to make trucks and other vehicles, but Tesla Energy is also creating a solar-powered local neighborhood. Last week, Tesla Energy announced that the first Tesla solar neighborhood called Sun House at Easton Park, 12 miles east of downtown Austin. Tesla is working with Brookfield Asset Management and DACRA. Neighborhood solar installations across all housing types will reshape how people live, Elon Musk, CEO of Tesla, said in a news statement. The feedback we get from the solar and battery products used in the community will impact how we develop and launch new products. Installation of Tesla V3 solar roof tiles and Powerwall 2 battery storage began in June at select homes in the Sun House community on land in Brookfield Residential's Easton Park master planned residential community. The initiative brings together multiple parts of our organization with innovative and forward-thinking partners that share a commitment to advance the development of sustainable communities. Brian Kingston, CEO of Brookfield's real estate business, as consumers increasingly seek out energy security alongside sustainable places to live, combining Tesla's solar technology with Brookfield's real estate and renewables development capabilities will help us meet demand for environmentally responsible communities in the future. Tesla Solar will provide ongoing oversight of the home's energy systems. That sounds invasive. And Brookfield's renewable power business will integrate a community-wide solar program to serve broader public use needs in surrounding neighborhoods. Brookfield Residential will also incorporate a suite of technology features, including electric vehicle charging stations in each home and throughout the community.
Nice. Yeah. So he did join in 2020. I don't know why. We did talk about that the other day. I don't know why we thought 2022. Maybe one of his positions changed or something in 2022. But yeah, Brookfield, it was in May 2022 when the $250 million investment in Twitter happened. So Carney was already there since 2020 as vice chair.
So he would have been
there. Or he started as vice chair.
He would have been there for the Boring Company one as well. That was April 20th, 2022. Back to back. He was having an Elon week. Okay. Did I lose my share? Okay, let's jump over to this one now. This is a new one now. I mean, this is a new one I just came across. This is a press release from 2 months ago. Brookfield to invest 20 billion euros in France's AI infrastructure. So what's that, like 35 billion Canadian?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know where the euro is.
Can't we have some AI infrastructure in Canada, Mark?
Did you see the comparison of all the investments of Brookfield, Canada, and all the rest? It's unbelievable.
At the opening of today's article, and then they want to tell the pension fund to invest in Canada, though. At the opening of today's Artificial Intelligence Action Summit in Paris, Brookfield Asset Management, Brookfield, together with French President Emmanuel Macron. I mean, this is like right before Carney went there and met him too and schmoozed him up about free trade from Canada. I mean, this is disgusting. Emmanuel Macron announced a 20 billion euro infrastructure investment program to support the deployment of artificial intelligence infrastructure in France.
1.5, let's say.
The Brookfield investment will be targeted across data centers and associated infrastructure sectors, which are vital for AI deployment.
So 30,000 million Canadian dollars, 30 billion, 30,000 million.
Up to 15 billion of data center investment will be led by Brookfield's portfolio company, Data4, one of Europe's largest data center developments, headquartered in Paris. Data4 has existing plans to build over 500 megawatt of data center capacity located across several regions in France, with an ambition to triple that by 2030. Can you just check quickly how France gets most of their power?
Nuclear, but I mean, it's how green is that, right? So maybe that's why they chose France.
Maybe. Triple that by 2030 is part of today's announcement. With this, France is projected to be the single largest market for Data4 in Europe. The investment of a further five, so it would seem like Carney's more invested in France than Canada. The investment of a further 5 billion euro is planned by Brookfield in France across associated AI infrastructure, such as data transfer, chip storage, and energy generation. The total 20 billion euro investment is projected to be delivered by 2030. President Emmanuel Macron declared the 20 billion euro investment by Brookfield, notably through Data4, will allow France to remain in the race alongside major AI players. Why the fuck would a Canadian guy like Mark Carney be helping other countries get ahead of us?
Well, he's European, Darren. He's not Canadian. No, he said he was European.
He said he tore that passport up. He said he tore that up. But now he's here giving these guys money to do their AI, and what do we get? We get nothing.
Well, you know why, Darren? Because he's cut back so many green jobs in Canada that he's got credits to use in other industries that aren't green, like building AI infrastructure. That's what the net zero is all about. You just slash stuff somewhere else and invested in a different industry somewhere else. I mean, so nuclear power is 67% of France's total generation. Hydropower 14%, wind and solar 13%, fossil fuels 4%. And then bioenergy and other renewables 2%. So yeah. So interesting.
The last line.
Maybe that's how they're able to do it, right? You can put non-green stuff in areas that are supposedly green.
But we don't get nuclear.
We have some nuclear.
We have some, but we don't get more.
I know, it's crazy. Because why would you do that? Because then you can't use your carbon credits in other countries, right? You need somewhere to you need to collapse something to get your credits for somewhere else.
Here's the last line of Macron's thing. We must not slow down. The world is accelerating. This is a battle for independence. So thanks, Carney. And okay, now I'm going to just keep going into a couple things. I got a clip here. I'm interested to see your thoughts on this one. This is about new Canadians voting for the first time. They say it's all about protecting Canada.
We did tobogganing here and we had maple syrup and it was pretty cool, but it was quite adventurous as well.
Gaurav Marek is going to vote in his first federal election. Like most Canadians, one major issue is weighing on his mind.
That person down south, it seems not fair how Trump is treating Canada especially.
But it isn't the only issue.
I really think there's too much immigration.
Fresh from the long process of becoming a citizen, he's now reckoning with issues of affordability.
I know I've come through the process.
Especially housing. Too much immigration, he says, hasn't helped.
Because now what has happened, there's your resources are getting divided.
Where do you think he's headed? I mean, he started out assuming he was voting for Carney, and now I'm not sure. He's torn.
I mean by job opportunities, I applied for over 250 job applications, and I just heard back from maybe 20 of them.
Data from elections.
Wow, that's pretty good. Usually you hear back from nobody these days.
He doesn't have a job?
Canada shows only 42% of new Canadians were very interested in politics, compared with 51% of established immigrant electors. But this high-profile election is capturing the attention of many newcomers.
Have you decided who's going to vote already? Or you're
not
still
yet.
In Calgary, these new Canadians are feeling the swell of patriotism heading into this election.
Because of like that long kind of like process that we've gone through,
that's one of my main concerns.
We definitely have started feeling more recently as well that spirit of like being Canadian and really like fighting for like Canadian values.
That's how I feel like I am a Canadian. I'm a proud Canadian. I want to protect this country. I want to protect this life. I want to protect this community that we build together.
I know where I'd be casting the vote.
That fierce pride fueling Merrick to the polls too.
When someone attacks you, especially externally, you feel much more guarded and you try to defend, saying that, okay, this is an identity which I and we us stand for.
His first federal vote. And possibly the most important he'll ever cast.
Catch his
Katie
shirt.
Nicholson, CBC.
No, what did it say?
No gambling at Bushwood. It's a reference to Caddyshack.
Oh, is it? So is that a good thing?
Look at it. It says 1980 Caddy Day. No gambling at Bushwood.
All right. So then I'm going to go to my last little bit here for the day, and I'll switch it over to you. You can take it away or we can shut it down, whatever's up to you. So this is an interesting little article. I mean, the only reason I'm doing this is because we gave the CBC $1.3 billion last year, and Carney wants to increase the budget so they can do this. This is what they're doing. And then, I mean, you start this off and you assume that they're counting, because here's the thing for people listening. Liberals and conservatives said their rallies drew thousands. We decided to count. So now you assume that maybe they're sending people in to count. They're sending people to the rallies to like count. Hand counted images of rallies yield significantly smaller numbers.
Because of the mirrors and their, you notice how they've all got mirrors, right? All these liberal ones, at least.
They brought in an expert.
Do
you want to play the clip or do you want me to read it?
You can play it, yeah. Is it AI?
I don't know. I haven't played it yet.
Okay, let's talk about crowd sizes.
When was the last time we had a rally that big in Canada? I think it was pretty incredible. Any of you there? Yes. Magic, eh? Wow.
People are saying crowd numbers for the conservatives and the liberals just aren't. These crowds mean the polls are fake.
We do not believe the polls.
So what's the truth? Are the liberals and conservatives inflating their crowd sizes? Well, we tried to find out. We collected videos and photos from these rallies and counted by hand how many people were there. And we were pretty shocked by the results. Both parties got their numbers wrong in a big way. A lot of people were claiming there were 15,000 people at the event.
It's not possible.
The big count.
First conservative
tax dollars at work.
Just outside Edmonton on April 7th.
This has got to be the biggest political gathering of the 21st century.
People are calling it the biggest rally in the history of Canada. And Polyev and his supporters say 15,000 people are at this event. For some perspective, here's what 15,000 people look like at a Winnipeg Jets home game. And
wouldn't that be more like 20,000?
This is the clearest picture showing most of the crowd at that rally.
No,
so we divided the entire space into grids. Counting.
Come on, Winnipeg, it's...
and putting them into a spreadsheet. We counted 1,558, not 15,000.
The Winnipeg one, I think, is, so we're at 126. I just want to go back to this one picture. I mean, that warehouse goes back a long ways. You know, look at how far back the columns go back. I mean, you could fit quite a few people in there, but let's see what they have to say.
58, not 15,000. We didn't believe it, so we kept digging. We spot this video on social media showing the whole crowd. After lining up landmarks to find the place the campaign photo was taken from, we determined that the photo is missing these people here, here, and here. Hundreds, maybe, but not 10,000. We then took it to crowd science expert Keith Still.
He's actually written books on this, and he did his own count.
But the best method, is as we've been discussing, is to actually do a head count for photographs, so you can put dots on the heads and actually physically counted. It takes a lot longer.
What did you
He's
come
a
up
maths
with?
Expert.
1772. But there'll be a margin of error of plus or minus 5% on that.
The campaign, and a lot of people were claiming there were 15,000 people at the event.
15,000, so that's 10 times more than we actually physically counted. It's not possible.
We show the conservatives our findings, and they say our supposed crowd scientists are very clearly mistaken. But they add that the party counts RSVPs as well as people entering the building. When we ask for more details, they just share us a post from a reporter who quoted the RCMP's numbers, which said 9 to 12,000. But when we ask the RCMP how they...
I mean, imagine how deep they went.
I mean, their numbers,
you have to fucking try and deconstruct.
That's just journalism we can ask for in Canada. I mean,
this wasn't there people not allowed in because it's so crowded. I mean, look at how packed the place is. Okay, obviously they packed the place, and they could have been in a bigger place probably because you didn't have just that amount of people fitting in exactly. I mean, it's just unbelievable they have to go through this. So did they do the? I thought they deconstructed the. The liberal with the rooms with all the mirrors in it, that one.
Now, let's take a look at a rally with liberal leader Mark Carney. At this event in Richmond, BC, the Carney campaign says there are 2,000 people here. Again, we want to make sure we're seeing the whole room. We spot this video on social media. This person here at the back of the room in the video is right here in the campaign photo. So we're confident we're seeing nearly everyone. And once again, we manually counted. Our count, 756. What did you get for those?
Well, for the Richmond event, we had between 748 and 766. Two of us were counting independently on it, and again, plus or minus 5%, well within the margin of errors for that. So yeah, about 750, 760 people there.
Liberal campaign tells us it tracks attendees and are maxing out capacity for their events. But check this out. The hotel lists its capacity for the room online, and it maxes out at 1,100. So it can't be 2,000, as the Liberals claim. By the way, these weren't one-offs. We also looked at a conservative rally in Surrey, BC, on March 27th. Polyev says there were 5,500 people there. Our total, 1,522. Now, check out these floor plans. We can't see the corners or the people in the mezzanine, so we can add a few dozen more. And this Carney rally on April 4th, in Scarborough, Ontario, the campaign says it had 1,800 people. Our count, 710. You helped us with four events, two from each party. What do you make of the fact that they're vastly different?
I think it might be a truism. Everybody wants their crowd to be larger than the next.
I've had enough. It's unbelievable.
Crowd science.
Thanks, expert. I mean, this is why we don't trust the experts.
Yeah.
How about the polling? How about the people that are paid to poll and how they pick those people for each poll? Why don't you do an investigation on that?
Yeah, I get it. So I'm out now. You want to finish this up?
Yeah, I'll finish it off because I did have something for us. But I mean, I don't know. You know, did you hear about all these CEOs that are supporting Pierre? So this is from HOC staffer on Twitter here on X. All the major business people and bankers on this list know Mark Carney personally. They chose to endorse Pierre. This is from Ben Mulrooney. This is, in my opinion, the most significant endorsement for Pierre and the CPC yet. Do your own research into the signatories and their respective companies. These are Canadian titans who have for decades invested in our community and help build our economy. I'm so glad that when I click on that, it doesn't go to a whole new thing. They fix this little glitch. Those on the left wanting this to be a resume measuring contest have officially lost that battle. So it talks here. Here's that chart that's been going around about the GDP for Canada and the rest of the countries here. Let's see here. This is this Friends of Free Enterprise in Canada. Now, the problem is this seems legit as far as like everybody sharing it around and everybody commenting on it and the actual people on here. So they've got like Fairfax Financial Chairman and CEO, Colliers Global CEO, RBC Dominion CEO, Scotiabank's former president and CEO. Oh, these are former. The last two are formers. Definitely these are big groups, right? Let's see, Aspen Properties, Midland Group of Companies, CEOs, executive chair and president CEO there, Main Street Equity Corp. I'm just looking for some other really, standouts for Canada. Metropia, Chairman Riocan, Sleep Country Canada. Pratt & Whitney Canada, former CEO of Pratt & Whitney. That's pretty huge. So, I don't know, man. It's people here say, I got a couple of funny replies to this. Where's the one that talks about Mark Carney's alleged brilliance does not exempt him from responsibility. It heightens it. His actions as a technocrat have caused measurable harm from the streets of Toronto to the factories of Xinjiang and the battlefields of Ukraine. The deaths and suffering tied to his policies are not accidents, but foreseeable outcomes of deliberate choices. Let me just scroll around here because there is a couple funny comments here. It's a significant endorsement for Pierre for sure. The endorsements of the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers Canada, International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, Progressive Contractors are equally so, in my opinion. That is interesting because it's kind of what's happening down south, right? Where they've destroyed the economy so much that they just know, like the unions start to get on board with this. This is a great endorsement for the Conservatives. CBC finally admitted this morning that the gap between the Libs and Conservatives is closing in favor of Conservatives. You could add Shopify founder to that, second biggest Canadian company by market cap. And Toby has been posting a lot about the election. I can't find the one that I wanted to share to you, but I guess it doesn't really matter. I wonder if it's because it's getting more replies and this is a dynamic list that's changing. Let's see here. So I tried to find it and I can't find the website of these guys at all. I just found a couple of Reddit posts and, I thought, well, they must have a website, right? You'd think. I'm going to share this tab instead here. Cause I just was searching on my other in here instead. It says, Friends of Free, cause I couldn't find anything, right? I'm like, well, there must be a website that's gathered all these signatures together, but it seems like just a group of people that wanted to sign a letter, basically endorsing him. So it says the Friends of Free Enterprise in Canada, group of 33 current and former company presidents and CEOs endorse Pierre and the Conservative Party in the upcoming federal election with a newspaper ad 4 days ago on April 12th. The group includes prominent figures, blah, blah, blah. They argue that Canada must embrace free enterprise. And it says 95 Wellington Street that's on the actual thing. So it's the location of Ivanhoe Cambridge, a socially responsible real estate company that develops and leases shopping malls, office building, and multi-residential properties. Ivanhoe Cambridge operates in Canada, the U.S., Europe, Brazil, and Asia with assets exceeding $40 billion. So it's coming from this average address of them. And this is all I could find from it is it's coming from, this is the average Ivanhoe Cambridge. So I don't know what that means. That seems like a pretty big company, $40 billion. Friends of Free Enterprise is just a group of these leaders. Seems like there's not even like a Facebook. I tried to search it on Google and nothing's coming up except for a Reddit post about it and some other stuff. What did Grok say? Yeah, I was asking Grok the other stuff. So yeah, anyways, it seems legit. Nobody said it's fake. And it's good that everybody wants more free enterprise here. These CEOs, they see how it's been destroyed over the last year. Imagine owning a business over the last 10 years and how difficult it's been. Small businesses for sure, but even some of these big corporations struggle.
Well, yeah, they notice it for sure. They got more overhead and more people bitching if they don't get paid. So.
But I'm surprised that they put their names to this, right? Is that showing a change in the winds as well? Kind of like down south where they're willing to now put their, former CEO of Pratt & Whitney Canada. That's huge, right? Imagine putting your name on endorsing not Mark Carney. Oh, you know what? The other comment was, imagine these people in the banks and investment places not endorsing Carney, right? I mean, that's a pretty, there's a lot of financial institutions in that list. So it is kind of interesting that they're not endorsing the former governor of Bank of Canada and Bank of the UK, Bank of England. I mean, that's got to say something.
The next couple of days will be interesting. We got the debate. So they can bip at each other. I think they officially kicked the Green Party out. So it'll be the three of them, right?
I was going to joke about
how it gets in too. So it'll be four of them. Four of them going at it. So, well, if we can stream that, we'll try and have it on the channel. I don't know that we'll be around, but we'll try and have it on the channel. We're going to be around for the English one, I think, so we can mock them in real time. So if people want to check that out, of course, don't forget to subscribe to the channel, comment, like, share it with your friends. Check out the alist.ca. If you like what you're doing, you want to support us, you can also get all the content in podcast form over there. And share it with your friends. It's easy to share. Just a-list.ca. Other than that, check out grandamerica.ca for everything else we're up to. Contact at the cabin for trips and events. Adultbrain.ca for audiobooks. Other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Who's going to kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become, as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you? What the celebrity's post told you was cool? Or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow.